night I had a dream that the world had turned around. All our hopes had come to be, and the people gathered around. They offer all they can bring, and nobody went with that. A hundred little songs sing, the revolution starts now.
Good afternoon, Richmond. Welcome to Indie Media Live, one of the most progressive half hours on the radio, because we have no corporate sponsorship and no corporate control. Hope you'll stay tuned to hear what a difference this makes in bringing you the news. I am your host, Rebecca Ferris, and I'm here every Tuesday introducing you to people in our community who are passionately involved in the issues and causes that directly affect you and your family. We have a great show for you today, one of my favorites. Ricky's Refuge is in the house. Carrie Hilliard is here, and we're going to be having a great conversation with her in just a minute. But first of all, I'd like to remind you that you can always stream this or any of the other wonderful programming on WRIR live at WRIR.org. Today's show will be streamed again tomorrow on WRIR.org from 2:30 until 3 o'clock, so you can listen to us again. And I also want to remind everybody that WRIR is one of the media sponsors of the James River Film Festival, which is going to be taking place April 7th through the 13th, jamesriverfilm.com. If you hear anything today that you'd like to find out more about or you'd like to comment on, go to our blog, indymedialive.blogspot.com, I-N-D-Y, indymedialive.blogspot.com. Live.blogspot.com. We would love to get a visit from you. And Tim has some vegan recipes up there and some vegan jokes and a lot of great information. So if you're driving in your car and you hear stuff today that you want to know more about, don't pull over to the side of the road. Just check our blog at indymedialive.blogspot.com. So the first event announcement I have for you today is about a Pentagon Action for Peace and the Environment. It's going to be taking place on April the 8th. People are going to gather at the Pentagon around noon. This action is being called by the National Campaign for Nonviolent Resistance, and it's called Peace Disarmageddon. The United States military is the entity most responsible for destabilizing the environment, according to the National Campaign for Nonviolent Resistance. There are innumerable reasons for this, including the exorbitant use of fossil fuels, depleted uranium weapons, worldwide transportation of weapons and personnel, unlimited air travel, engagement in war, and the possession, upkeep, and transport of nuclear weapons. The United States wars rage on in Iraq and Afghanistan. According to General Barry McCaffrey, we are spending $10 billion a month in Afghanistan. U.S. drone bombs continue to kill innocent people in Afghanistan and Pakistan and other places around the world. Military spending is out of control, but at the same time, we have no money to meet our basic human needs right here in the United States. Torture and illegal indefinite detentions continue in Guantanamo, Bagram, and other places around the world. The United States provides billions of dollars to countries which repress its citizens and neighbors, works closely with death squads in Colombia and Indonesia, trains Latin American soldiers who have been involved in rampant human rights abuses at the Western Hemispheric Institute for Security Cooperation, and the United States has established AFRICOM, which will ensure more U.S. intervention on the continent of Africa. The National Campaign for Nonviolent Resistance urges people to come together in solidarity to act in resistance against these activities, and that will be happening at the Pentagon on April the 8th around noon. If you'd like to find out more about this, you can contact joyfirst5, that's J-O-Y-F-I-R-S-T, the number 5, at gmail.com. I want now to turn to my guest. I'm so excited. Carrie Hilliard is here. Carrie is the founder and executive director, president, chief pooper scooper of Ricky's Refuge. Carrie, thanks for being here.
Well, thank you, Rebecca.
They let you off the farm.
Just for a few minutes.
Just for a few minutes to come down and make radio today.
They're filling up the litter boxes while I'm here.
because we should let people know a little bit about Ricky's. You have a lot of animals.
We
How
do.
Many animals are at this amazing refuge, Carrie?
1,250 of 22 different species right now.
Amazing. Carrie, this month is National Frog Month.
Oh.
I know that you also not only have domesticated animals, but you also have a lot of acreage for the wildlife of Virginia, don't you?
297 acres of wetlands and woodlands that's set aside just for their happiness.
And
very low-packed human intervention. We do have some nature trails, but very quiet activities in the woods, and it's designated just for them. Any improvements are strictly on their behalf.
And so I bet you have a lot of frogs.
We have a lot of frogs.
Yeah, you have a lot of frogs. And it's their month.
One of the activities we spend a lot of time doing in the spring is picking up the frogs that end up in the potholes in the driveway and moving them out to the creeks in the woods because they're not safe there in the driveway.
Oh, that's so sweet. I just love frogs.
Yeah, they're adorable.
Yeah, I love them so much. You probably have lots of different species.
Oh, yes, tree frogs and bullfrogs and regular little pond frogs and all kinds. Yeah, they're great.
Yeah, that's wonderful. Let's just tell people a little bit about Ricky's.
Ricky's Refuge is a peaceful, multi-species, no-kill facility. We're sort of different than what you were just describing the world as. When you come into Ricky's Refuge, it's all peaceful there. Every individual is respected for themselves. Everyone gets treated the way they should be treated, and they all have respect and courtesy and decency regardless of what some of them think of us humans. So we have feral cats, and we have other animals that don't really want to be social with humans, but we give them the opportunity to be themselves in a nice, safe, and happy environment.
That is the thing that first attracted me to Ricky's. Must have been, I was adding it up on the way to the studio today, probably 10 years ago.
At least.
Yeah. I was attracted to the fact that you guys pay attention to all the species.
When we try to give them the home that is appropriate for them, not what we want to see, but what is right for them.
Yes, you honor their inherent natures.
Exactly.
Yeah. And I was also impressed by the fact that you very often will take animals that other people might consider used up.
And most of our animals are ones that have been rejected from other shelters or that people can't find an adoptable shelter who will take them. We consider most of our residents unadoptable, though there are a few really kind, sweet people who would love a three-legged, blind, deaf, diabetic dog. But for the most part, those folks will stay with us for the rest of their lives, and we think they have rights, even if they need some assistance in getting around. We have one dog who has his own seeing eye dog, and we do whatever we can for them and let them live the happiest life they can.
Can you tell us about that relationship?
Well, Duke Thomas Peabody, he's our spokes doggy. He's about 5 years old now. He was a little Dobie who was born with an eye problem called microophthalmia, which means his eyes never developed. So he was born blind. And once upon a time, when he was about 7 months old, someone was walking him through the town of Baltimore and left him in a city park. And we don't know if he truly was lost or deliberately ditched, but no one ever came looking for him at the local shelter there. And being blind, he was considered unadoptable, even though he was loving, he was 7 months old, he had no other health issues that they knew about at the time. He was considered unadoptable solely from the fact that he was blind. So he was put on the euthanasia list, and then someone called us, and he came to us instead. And it turns out he does have a few other health problems that we found over the years. But he bonded immediately with this little cattle dog that we have. And the cattle dog leads him around and, like, leans against his shoulders. And when they're out walking, he helps him to avoid trees. It's the cutest thing. And if they're separated, they both go through tremendous separation anxiety. So we always keep them together.
That is the sweetest story. And what's the cattle dog's name?
Boomer.
Boomer. Carrie, one thing I love about you is that for all 1,250 animals, you
59,
know
59, actually.
You know every single one of their names.
Yes, we do. Each one is an individual, and everybody, from the littlest guinea pig to the biggest emu, they all have their own personality.
I think we should tell people about the emus.
Well, they're pretty terrific little guys.
They
They're
really
5 to 6 feet tall. They're birds. They're similar to ostriches, but smaller. But still awfully big for a bird.
They are awfully big.
They probably intimidate more people than any other animal there, though they're very sweet and gentle. But if you are in with earrings, they'll certainly try to pull silvery earrings off because they're curious. But they're really terrific.
They're so intelligent.
There. It is. And it's just really fascinating to stand there and look directly into the eyes of a bird. And then you realize, I mean, all birds have their own personality and their own thoughts, just like we do, but we just don't think about it when we see them flying. But when you interact with the emus, it really brings it down to earth for you.
If you've just tuned in, you're listening to Indie Media Live on WRIR. I'm your host, Rebecca Ferris, and we're talking with Carrie Hilliard, the founder and executive director of Ricky's Refuge. Carrie, rickysrefuge.org is your website.
Yes, it is.
All kinds of information there.
Can you tell our
listeners some of the information they can find on your website?
You can find out what type of events that we have going on, what sort of monthly contests that we have going on, as well as read stories about the animals. And if you check the blog site, you'll see, which is rickysrefuge.blogspot.com, you'll find a lot of stories about the animals. Every day we put out a newsletter that has pictures and stories of different of the animals there, stories about what they're doing and just their personalities and new animals that come and animals that get adopted.
Ricky's, R-I-K-K.
Correct.
I'S, Ricky's, but no apostrophe in rickysrefuge.org or rickysrefuge.blogspot.com. I think also on the website, people would be able to find volunteer opportunities and maybe even a wish list.
Absolutely. And we need volunteers for everything.
Yes. What are some of the opportunities that people would have to volunteer?
Anywhere from helping us feed and clean the animals on a regular daily basis to helping us build new enclosures.
Yeah, I think that was one of the things also that I enjoyed so much about first getting involved with Ricky's is that you were able to find, you know, you took the time to get to know me a little bit and to find out what my interests are and what my strengths are, and then you found a way to help me plug in.
Well, every person has their own gift and what they can do for the organization. Not everybody is a perfect pooper scooper, and some people have enough kitties at home, they really don't want to do that as their volunteer, but some people are great at PR, some people are great at marketing. Some people are great at running bake sales, at events, at helping out with Girl Scout and Boy Scout troops. We have a lot of handicapped, both adult and children groups who come out and people who can help with them. People who go to events and hand out flyers at like the Vegetarian Festival here in Richmond and all kinds of events like that.
And I think that it's so amazing. Also, some of your volunteers are really good with artwork. And
oh, my gosh,
really good,
yes.
Yeah, really good with the IT end of things.
Absolutely. And have you seen recently we've started animal artwork?
No.
You've got to check out the blog posting from Saturday. Mystique is one of our little kitties, and she is now doing artwork. She is selling wooden Easter eggs with a paw print on them. Only $6 a piece for Easter, and they're cute as anything.
Oh, my goodness.
And April 30th will be a big, be an assistant of the artist animals at Ricky's Refuge. We need a lot of people to come out, and we're going to try to do emu feet print canvases, and Vincent the three-legged spokes cat will be making his own canvases and all sorts of things, but we need lots of human volunteers to help the animals with that.
So rickysrefuge.org or rickysrefuge.blogspot.com, and we'll have those addresses posted on our blog shortly after the show today. Carrie, that was a perfect segue into Easter.
Oh, Easter.
Yeah, Easter.
And some people think of Easter as fun and chocolate bunnies, and those of us in the rescue business think of it as, oh no, how soon will those poor dumped animals that are no longer wanted show up?
Can you tell us about that? Kind of take us from A to Z briefly.
People get an idea that having a rabbit or a chicken or a duck is a real cute thing for Easter, and they don't think it all the way through. Getting a stuffed animal, you can play with it for a few days and set it aside, but a live animal, you've got a long commitment. When people get a rabbit at the store, it's a cute little bunny, and they're looking at 15, 20 years. I mean, a long time, and they need to be cleaned every day, and that's a job people hate doing. So before you know it, they're getting rid of the rabbit because it stinks, when really it doesn't. It's because you didn't clean it up and you left it in a small area. They need special food, and their vet care is so much more expensive than cats and dogs because they're very sensitive, and it requires a vet who's specially trained for them. So without a whole lot of social interaction, they just don't end up as very good pets, and 90% of them are disposed of within 2 months.
Oh, that's such a
which
staggering.
Which is pretty shocking.
Yeah, that's staggering.
The vast majority of those will end up in shelters where they're euthanized.
When I think about the amount of suffering It doesn't make sense to me, the idea of a rabbit as a pet, because rabbits are prey. And so picking them up, I think, is the most terrifying moment in the life of a rabbit.
Yes,
isn't it?
It is. And that is what a small child wants to do the most, is pick up their pet.
Sure.
And when they do, the rabbit kicks, and they have powerful, powerful hind legs. And then you're scratched, and then you don't like the rabbit anymore. Or in the rabbits really terrorized, they bite. And the bite of a rabbit is much worse than a cat or dog because their teeth are straight across. Not, you don't get a pointy little hole. You get a chisel chunk taken out of your finger. The worst injury we have had at Ricky's Refuge, and we're dealing with huge animals, is a rabbit bite.
I really would hope that people would just stop and think for a minute. You know, if you have little Sally who wants a rabbit for Easter, a dark chocolate rabbit.
Or a stuffed, plush fake fur rabbit.
Plush fake fur rabbit.
Is perfect. Or come out to Ricky's Refuge and use one of ours for a few hours and see what they're really like.
Yes.
And I don't mean use them in a bad way. Come and sit in Rabbit Rotunda where you'll have 40 rabbits and about 60 guinea pigs scurrying around you. You can feed them oranges. They just love oranges. Feed them carrots. And meet them on their own terms, which is letting them be on the ground, keep their feet on the ground, and let them come up to you and eat something out of your hands. And then you'll get the opportunity to pet them. And you'll see what a rabbit is really like, not an artificial toy that you're trying to create out of a live creature.
And I also think it's important for people to understand how social and communal the natural personality of rabbits can be.
Absolutely.
They want to live in community.
Yes.
And to have one isolated in a little cage in the basement.
It's horrible. It's one of the leading causes of death is depression.
Yes, I can imagine. Insanity, I would think.
Just imagine how you would feel if you were picked up by an alien species and dropped in a dark little cage in their basement and just handled a couple of times a week, not knowing whether they've fattened you up now enough and they're going to put you on the dinner table or they're going to make you watch TV with them.
Yeah, and if you were taken away from your mom when you were so little, I think
siblings and never allowed to speak to anyone of your own species again.
Yeah, and when you see rabbits together, you see the way they groom each other, they lick each other and stuff. You just really, and the way they'll snuggle up together, you just really know that they are social animals.
Well, and our rabbits in Rabbit Rotunda, they've got a number of different areas there that they can nest in, and they group. There's very definite groups. Not many of them are real siblings, but they have formed their little family units, and they have their little territories, and this is ours, and that's theirs, and they'll, when we put out the fresh produce for them, they'll go and grab theirs and pull it over for their family to eat. It's just adorable to just spend some time watching them.
And they know who they like and who they don't like.
Oh, absolutely. And fortunately, they don't have any vehement dislikes of anybody. They all get along quite well because they're neutered and spayed. If they weren't, then we would have some problems. Mm-hmm. But they're all fixed. But they definitely still have their little cliques and their little groups. And this group's son's over here, and these guys go over there.
And I don't know if people understand that also that rabbits like to live in the dirt.
The thought
of making them live in a hutch with nothing but a wire cage.
Well, and the wire hurts
their
paws.
Feet. Yeah, because their feet are very sensitive.
And a lot of people then don't realize how often they've got to cut the claws if they're not out digging. We get rabbits in from people who are getting rid of them, who've only had them a few months, and the claws have curled around and grown back into the pads on their feet. I mean, rabbits require a lot of care when they're out of their natural environment.
And they just can't interact with us in the same way that dogs and cats can.
No, they just haven't been domesticated. People will say they're domesticated, but they've been domesticated for purposes other than a pet.
Mm-hmm. And you might just be experiencing fear.
Absolutely.
Because when a prey animal is afraid, what it does is stand still.
Mm-hmm.
Is that right?
Yes, it freezes until it thinks it's got a possible chance of escape, which is when you're holding it tight and you suddenly let your guard down and loosen up a little, then it kicks and bites to get away.
Mm-hmm. If you've just tuned in, you're listening to Indie Media Live on WRIR and Carrie Hilliard's
Hilliard.
Carrie Hilliard is here from Ricky's Refuge. I got all my K's and my H's all running together all of a sudden. Ricky's Refuge is about an hour from Richmond.
About an hour and 15 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
It's a beautiful country drive in the spring.
Can you tell us how to get down there?
Probably the easiest way from here would be up I-95 to Fredericksburg. and take Route 3 west towards Culpeper and turn off on Route 20 south towards the town of Orange, and we're about 12 miles from that intersection there. Check our website for better directions.
Yeah, or you can go 64 down toward
Keswick.
Down to
522.
And the, yeah, 522.
And take 522 and then, right up to 20.
Yep, over to Orange that way. Yeah, that's a great way too. And you're right, it's a perfect time of year for a drive out.
It is, it's beautiful out now.
So let's talk about April 16th and some of the other events that are going to be coming up at Ricky's.
April 16th is Bunny Bonanza, and that's a day we try to bring awareness to the bunny rabbits and the guinea pigs and some of the small animals. It's also a special day for children to come in. There'll be a lot of games for children. Tickets are 50 cents a piece for games or one can of cat food because we have a lot of animals to feed. Admission is $5 at the door or $3 at pre-sale time, and the pre-sale tickets are available on the website. It is from 1 o'clock in the afternoon until 5 o'clock in the afternoon. There'll be a bake sale, all kinds of games and activities. There'll be tours every half hour. It's a great day to come out and see the facility, especially if you've got some kids. Bring them out. The Easter Bunny will be there visiting. There'll be Easter egg hunts. Everything will be nice and natural, and you'll get to meet rabbits in their real environment, real rabbits doing real rabbit things.
Carrie, let's talk about the whole Easter egg thing.
Whoever came up with this crazy idea, probably someone who wanted to sell them, you know.
Well, the idea of fertility, I guess.
Yes, well, rabbits certainly are fertile.
Well, what kind of you mentioned a minute ago wooden eggs that
yes.
that you use at Ricky's. You're mm-hmm. certainly not using live.
Oh, absolutely not. No, no,
yeah,
no.
Your Easter egg no. hunt. Describe
our Easter egg hunt is either plastic. They're plastic eggs with prizes inside, and then we have some wooden eggs that have been painted that we'll be selling for special events. But the ones on the Easter egg hunt will be plastic eggs with wood inside.
Can you talk to us about
no,
the
with
exploitation?
Toys inside, sorry.
Yeah, with wood inside. That wouldn't be very much fun. Oh, look, Mom, I have some wood inside.
Of wood here. But that's toys and prizes and tickets to win special things.
Yeah. Let's talk about that whole exploitation of chickens with the eggs, because I know that you have chickens.
Yes, we do.
And you have roosters.
We do.
And so you know them very well.
Mm-hmm.
So what are they like? And talk to us a little bit briefly. We're unfortunately running out of time about the exploitation of these animals for their eggs.
Well, our chickens run free. At night, they have a house they're allowed to go into, but most of the time they're running free. And they, too, form their own community. Certain groups go out in the morning, and they go off this way looking for bugs to eat, and another group goes that way. And our chickens do lay eggs. They weren't really bred to be what they call layers in the market, so they just lay them wherever they are, and usually the dogs eat them at night. And we figure that's natural because we are not wanting to bring more babies into the world since there are too many, so we do not allow any to hatch. But in captivity, when they're used just for their egg laying, it's really awful. The hens are kept in very small areas. They're given typically extra hormones and stuff to make them lay more frequently, which depletes their bones of calcium. It's just really sad. It is a terribly sad situation. They're often kept in such small areas. They're pecking at each other. They've pulled each other's feathers out. They've hurt each other. And they only live 4 or 5 years in this type of an environment because they are so depleted after being forced to lay so many eggs. And once their egg production slows down, like you reach eggopause, as a chicken, you're worthless. And that's when you become a broiler or something like that.
What is the natural lifespan of a chicken?
10 to 12 years.
Whoa. Yeah, that's a nice long life in the wild.
That is in a wild in a chicken that is given free range. Mm-hmm. In America, the lifespan of a chicken is an average of 4 months. Most chickens are sent to slaughter at the age of 4 months.
When I lived in Jamaica years ago, I was so touched by the way the chickens, the rooster would round up all the hens,
uh-huh.
and at the end of the day, and they would fly up into the trees.
They do. They live in the trees at night.
And they lived in the trees at night and slept.
And people always look at the chickens in trees and say, oh my gosh, I didn't know they could fly. Well, they are birds. And if you look at our blog spot today, you'll see a few pictures of what we call chicken love. A group of chickens curled up, three hens curled up around a rooster, and they have their head laying on his wings, and it's very sweet.
Carrie, I'm wondering also, kind of the theme of what we've been talking about is an attitude of people for the exploitation of the lives of these animals.
What humans can get out of it. What's in it for me?
Yeah. And for me, these animals are individuals who were born for their own time in the sun. And I'm wondering if you could talk to us just really briefly about we have the Ringling Brothers Circus coming to town in April. And I'm wondering if you could talk to us a little bit about the lives of those animals.
Again, I think I go back to my alien scenario. There's not a whole lot of difference in us taking those animals and training them as someone picking you up and forcing you to jump through hoops and jump through hoops of flame and do silly things in order to be allowed to eat and to be hit and mistreated and kept in a small cage and packed around from one place to another and forced to perform just for your basic survival rights.
And the thing for me is that there are wonderful circus acts that have nothing to do with the exploitation and suffering of animals that our kids could go to and enjoy under the big top.
Absolutely. And when people perform, it's by their own choice.
Yes. Well, in the couple of seconds that we have left, would you like to tell everybody about Bunny Bonanza one more time?
April 16th from 1 o'clock until 5 o'clock. That's Saturday, a week from this Saturday. April 16th from 1 to 5. Bunny Bonanza for the kids and for adults. We'll have a magic show. We'll have the Easter Bunny, Easter egg hunts. Again, artificial eggs. We don't use real things. And just a whole lot of fun, tours, meet all the animals, and come on out and visit and bring some food for everybody.
And if you can't make Bunny Bonanza, every Sunday you have a tour of the refuge as
well.
At noon.
Every Sunday at noon now.
Mm-hmm, at noon. And then Saturdays you have full moons and vegan barbecues.
All kinds of good stuff.
Just all kinds of wonderful things going on at Ricky's.
Check out the website to see all of them.
Yeah, especially for the kids, rickysrefuge.org or the blog, rickysrefuge.blogspot.com. Carrie, thank you so much for being here today, and
thank you especially
for all you do for the animals to create a safer, saner, more peaceful, loving world.
And to try and teach other people what animals really should be.
Mm-hmm. Thank you so much, Carrie.
Thank you.
And I thank everybody for listening today. I just have one quick statement to make. I'm going to climb up on my soapbox here. I'm wondering if you have heard of the fact, it was a news report by CNN on March the 24th, that as Japan's earthquake and tsunami ripped through Fukushima Daiichi nuclear plant, the wind turbines nearby did exactly what they were supposed to do. They swayed, they stopped, they electronically checked themselves, and now they are still generating electricity for Japan. Wind turbines in the middle of all of this. So I thank everybody for listening today. Next week, we're going to be doing a show on the lives of the animals associated with circuses. So I hope that you will tune in for that. And I want to thank Tim and all the other volunteers at WRIR who make Indie Media Live possible. And until next week, I hope that you will be kind to yourselves, be kind to the animals, be kind to each other, be kind to the earth. But don't be silent, because silence is the voice of complicity. We wish you peace.